Hey, welcome back, ladies. You are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. I continue to be Emily Thomas, and I am excited to come here with you week after week. The hope here is that this show will help you love your actual life. You will not keep trying to run away from home because you'll realize some really great things are going on in the midst of the really kind of not great things going on in your house. Because also, I want you to know we all have those. You are not the only one who can see marks on your walls and you don't even know what gross thing that is. The paint is falling off your cabinets. Maybe you have a really nice house, but I have marks on my walls and paint falling off my cabinets. And I just walked by the water heater and I could feel on the floor that underneath it, the floor underneath the water heater was really hot. And last time that happened is because we had a leak in the slab of our house. So just as I was walking in to record this, I noticed that I think we might have another giant plumbing problem in our house. Super de-duper. Just want you to know, you're not alone. You're not alone. I think we have an enemy who likes to lie to us and make us feel like it's just us. And I'm here to tell you, it may be you, but it's me too. So it's at least the two of us, okay? Oh, so I don't know how your week has gone. I feel like it's Groundhog's Day, like the same blasted day over and over. And I mean, the grass is always greener, right? But for everybody who gets paid to stay home, I feel jealous. I want to be paid to stay home. I feel like all I'm doing is working. It's not actually true, but when I'm not working, I'm thinking about it because I'm in a leadership position. So, my brain. This is such a good time, though, to put our actual faith into action, right? I mean, I think sometimes our faith is theoretical and now it should be hopefully shining through and something that we're using to make our decisions, something that we're using to just draw on when we find ourselves going to a fear place. That's way easier said than done, but we are definitely getting some practice and some reps in as every day seems to bring like its own challenges. Frankly, and this might not be a popular opinion, but I think we're learning how to live the way a lot of the rest of the world has to live. We are just so insulated and really, really blessed. And sometimes it makes us feel like we can't do hard things. And the fact of the matter is, we can do hard things, especially those of us who are in Christ. So there is me encouraging myself right now, and you just got to listen in. And I'll just say, if any of you are at home and think of healthcare workers and people just, not even nurses and doctors, but other staff who work with patients. This is just really tricky on everyone's mental health. And so I just pray that I would hope, my sincere hope is that this is something that's drawing people closer to the Lord and helping them see their mortality. You know, this is making us answer hard questions. And so just, I don't know, pray for me. I want to be a light. I want to keep going. And I gotta be honest, it's just quite an adventure that we find ourselves in, those of us in healthcare. Happy to do it. It's an honor. And it's also really hard sometimes. Anyhow, but when I was talking about like the anxiety of it all, John Piper did a sermon ages ago and it stuck with me so much. Even the title, I think I've even brought it up before, but the title is, Are You Humble Enough to Be Carefree? And I think in this time, wow, what a thing. Not that you want to be an idiot and go out and do dumb stuff. Like, I've seen people licking toilet seats. There are a coronavirus challenge that the blasted young people, I'm not saying all of them, obviously that was a generalization, forgive me young people, not like you're listening to this show anyway, but the coronavirus challenge where you lick a toilet seat and post a selfie of you being a daggum fool. Anyway, that's not what I'm talking about, being carefree. Keep your mouth off the toilet seat, young people. But are we humble enough to actually trust God with this? So I would encourage you, I don't know, Google that. Are you humble enough to be carefree? John Piper. It's a really good sermon. My son had his birthday party and my neighbors showed up to stand on the yard, a couple of them. And then my other neighbors showed up to have a FaceTime party. And then my sister, you know her, Katie, she organized this whole party for Porter with my family, and just everybody's just blessed my heart so much with the way that they have loved my son. And he, thankfully, he thinks this is the best birthday he's ever had, like, especially because he just, all he wants to do is be on technology. So all he's done today is be on technology talking to people. So, and he got like 97 Lego sets. So what's not to love? Okay, so let's get on to the show. Today, I'm going to be introducing you to a girl named Allison Storm. She is a mom who went on a trip and she saw child slavery, and she came home and could not get it out of her mind. I remember seeing some things when I was in China that I can't get out of my mind either. She, though, felt like there was something she needed to do about it directly. She didn't know what it was. And it took years and years, but she kept praying and asking, like, why did I see what I saw? How can I do something? And so she's going to tell you the story of what happened. She is a regular mom who is just taking one step at a time to see what it is that God has for her. And I love watching it. So anyhow, we also talk about finances. We talk about adoption. We talk about waiting well. We talk about delays. When kids have delays, how do you not compare them to other kids their age or other kids that you have in your house? She talks about learning to let her kids work at their own pace and be their own people. That can be hard. We have feelings about how they should be and where they should be, and that isn't always right. I think we stress ourselves out way more than we should. So anyway, I'm going to let her tell you the rest. Let's go ahead and listen in to my chat with Allison. Good morning, Allison. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Tell me where you are again. Where do you live?
Greenville, South Carolina.
Okay. See, I'm from Arizona and now I live in Texas. And so I'm really not that good at the states over where you are. They get so small over there, you know?
Yeah, they do. Yep. Well, you need to come visit.
I know. Well, my first job was I taught inmates who were high school students, but they were being tried as adults for like first degree murder and stuff. And I created a little activity for them to learn the states and then draw them from memory. And then I'd buy them whatever king size candy bar they wanted. And I'm telling you, they would do anything for a candy bar. Well, but I never learned. So I would teach them, like, each week we would learn like a block of 10 states and how to draw them and what was the capital. And then we'd move on to the next one. And if they could do all of it at the end from memory, I'd buy them the candy bar. Well, I never learned it from memory, but they learned it from memory. They all had all day long, though. So they
had the time. Were you buying a lot of king size candy bars?
I bought a good amount, but I still can't draw the thing I made up. And so, yeah, when you say all those states, I'm like, I don't know. The states are small and far away. So, but it's beautiful over there.
It is. It is.
Okay. So I have so many very interesting questions we want to talk about. And we started this conversation last week and the connection was so poor that we are just scrapping that and starting over. So I'm going to ask you some things we've already talked about. It was a bummer. It was a bummer. So I do want to talk, though, about financial peace.
Yes.
You lead that at your church.
Yes. I've led 3 sessions of it.
Oh, that's amazing. And you did the debt-free scream with actual Dave Ramsey.
On stage live.
Were you super nervous?
I was, yes. But my husband was a million times more nervous than I was because he hates being in the public. He doesn't like being on stage. That is not his comfort zone. So the funny thing about that was we were holding hands, and when we did the debt-free scream, I raised our hands up into the air and his armpit stain was like huge because he was so nervous. So he was mad at me after, well, not really mad, but like, yes. Why'd you do that? Because it showed his armpit stain to the whole thousands of people.
That is so funny. Okay, so I just made my very first giant car payment yesterday. I'm trying to pay off both of our cars. That's just something I'm trying to do. But my struggle with the whole Dave Ramsey budgeting situation is I tend to get so focused on it that I won't buy anything at all. Like, even, you know what I mean? Like, for me, I take it too far, maybe. Mm-hmm. So trying to be middle of the road, then I end up not really budgeting.
Well, there's something really good about being gazelle intense, and and there is a time and a season for that. If your goal is to pay off your debt, you want to be intense, but you can budget in, some extra fun money for entertainment so that you can do things like that. And a lot of times couples, they'll each give each other a certain amount every month in their budget. And they don't have to ask the person, can I go get a pedicure? Because you have the money for that and you don't need to feel guilty about that because you've budgeted for it.
That's a good point. I do tend to be, I go get really extreme, and I don't want to get extreme like with not spending money, but I think it is good to do that. I just sometimes will get not fun. I'm not very fun. So I need
Right.
to
And then you
budget in
get burnt
fun. You're
out.
right. Yes.
Yeah. So as long as you guys are on the same page, that's the most important thing.
Okay. Now, was Dave Ramsey, was he really nice or what? How did you find him?
He was super nice. Oh my goodness. Yes. And Chris Hogan, one of the other Dave Ramsey personalities, was there. And before we went out on stage, we got to meet them backstage and take pictures with them. Well, they put us up there, and I was next to Chris Hogan, and my husband was next to Dave Ramsey. And I quickly switched places with my husband. And so we had this funny moment where Chris Hogan acted like he was all offended because I wanted to stand next to Dave Ramsey. And then he and my hu Chris Hogan and my husband ended up hugging, and we have an adorable picture of them hugging.
That's so funny. Sounds like a really good experience. I would love to be there someday.
It was a bucket list moment for me, that's for sure.
I love that. Okay, so I wanted to talk. You have a husband who is an immigrant
Yes, from Northern Ireland.
from Northern Ireland. Okay. Have you learned any lessons from that as someone, I don't know. Just tell me
Yeah,
what that experience has been like.
for sure. I mean, there are some cultural differences anytime you marry someone from another country, I think. And we also went through the whole experience of making him a US citizen, and that was, years and a lot of studying, history and things that you probably learned in elementary school but forgot. So a lot of quizzing him. But a few years ago, he passed the test and he took the oath, and he's a US citizen now.
That's great. Is he, what was that experience like? Was he very excited or was it just something to cross off the list?
No, that was a big deal for him. He really wanted to become a US citizen. I mean, I got to imagine it's, a little bit emotional to let go of that part of yourself because we are where we came from, but it was really important for him to become a citizen. And now we've recently adopted internationally, and that's something that he and my daughter can share. He can talk to her about that. Like, I'm not from here either, and this is what I went through, and this is what that experience was like for me, and living in a place that was different from where I grew up.
That's really neat. So you, I know you waited a really long time for the adoption to happen.
3 years and 8 months is all.
Yeah, no big deal. Oh my goodness.
No big
So
deal.
how old is your daughter now?
She's four.
And was she an infant when you started?
Well, she would have been like, so according to the records, and the records are all real sketchy, she would have arrived at the shelter about the exact time that we announced we were starting the adoption process. So she would have been about 6 months old.
Okay, and what country?
Burundi, it's in East Africa, real tiny, right by Rwanda.
Okay.
It's a beautiful country. There's we saw hippopotamuses swimming in the
Oh
lake. I mean,
my
it was really
goodness.
cool. Mountains, gorgeous. But it is also a very poor country. I think, it's like third poorest country in the world.
How did you choose that for someone who's interested in adopting but doesn't know where to start? I remember it feeling so overwhelming. There's so many choices.
Well, for one, I was called to it when I was a teenager, and I remember the moment that God laid it on my heart. So I always reminded myself of that when I was thinking, oh, this is taking forever. Like, God waited for me to come around and finally take the step to actually doing something
That's a great
for,
point.
a couple of decades. But eventually I did come around and realized that, we were never going to have the money that we needed sitting in an account. And that was the big question mark for me, and that was paralyzing. How does someone who's committed to not going into debt move forward with adoption? But one day I was listening to a book by Francis Chan. It was actually a marriage book, And he says that as Christians, we should all take steps forward with caring for orphans and widows. And if God closes the door, then fine, we'll accept that. But we should all move forward in that. And here I was, knowing that I was called to it, and I wasn't taking that step. I was feeling like I need to have all these things in place before I can do that. But where's the faith in that? So I went home and I told my husband about my light bulb moment. And he said, okay, well, let's do this. And we just started moving forward. And it was the most amazing thing to watch God provide in every single way. And yes, it was agonizing and heartbreaking. And I never want to go through like waiting that long for something. So, again, but it was absolutely 100% worth it. And I would do it again a million times because she is a joy.
I love that.
But I don't think I answered your question, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, because you asked about the country. And we knew we were wanted to adopt from Africa.
Okay.
So we start researching different adoption agencies, and we found an agency called All God's Children. They're based in Washington State, and they had just started a pilot program with Burundi. And we thought, where's Burundi? And so we looked it up on a map and started researching it. And we thought, pilot program, that sounds exciting. Well, what we didn't know is that that's kind of like code, I think, in, at least in our experience, for is going to take forever.
Oh, shoot.
So we signed up for the Burundi program, and a couple of times they said, do you want to move to another program because this is taking so long? But we just knew that our daughter or our child was there.
Okay. So some of it is research, and some of it is just going where God leads, even Absolutely. If you don't exactly know why. Yeah.
Yeah. So much of life is like that, isn't it?
I mean, yes.
You got to do some of the work, but you also got to have faith.
This episode is sponsored by the Hands-On Bible from Tyndale House Publishers. The Hands-On Bible is loaded with over 150 activities that parents and kids can do together. What I love about this Bible is it is full of activities. There's a lot of humor, there's fun graphics to help kids learn and understand and live out, most importantly, the important truths we learn from the Bible. Tyndale sent me a copy for each of my kids, and they really love them. They're not only beautiful, but they really are very engaging to look at, and I find my kids really devouring the pages, and it makes my heart so happy. So visit thehandsonbible.com for 35% off deluxe editions of the Hands-On Bible through April 12th of 2020. Use coupon code MSW. So again, coupon code MSW will get you 35% off the deluxe editions of the Hands-On Bible. So go to thehandsonbible.com and use coupon code MSW. So, you also have a son with medical needs.
Yeah, well, he's doing great now. His name is Sammy, and he's 7. And although yesterday was traumatic because he just found out he needs glasses. And
oh.
he was super upset, but he came around. I told him he's going to get a case, and that did it for him.
Isn't
he's
that funny?
He's excited about a glasses case.
You never know what's going to be the ticket.
Exactly. But when he was born, he had so many little things that just weren't quite right. And all of those little things had the possibility of adding up to something very big. And thankfully, you know, God has healed so much of what his struggles were. But we still have a lot of therapy that we go to, PT, OT, speech, vision therapy. But he is such a trooper, and he does it all with such a great attitude, and he's just a cool little kid. And having his sister arrive has just made this like the time of his life.
Really? Does he love her?
Oh my gosh. They are so different, but they complement each other so well. He has a lot of delays in, especially in just little things like tying his shoes or, you know, buttons, zipper, and, you know, fine mm-hmm. motor skills are mm-hmm. a big deal for him. And she really excels at that, even though she's only 4 years old. So she like will help him button his shirt or, you know, tie, Sammy, let me tie your shoe. And she kind of mothers him a little bit, and where one is weak, the other is strong.
Oh my goodness. I love that. So for a mom who has a kiddo with some medical needs or some delays or some challenges in that way, what would you say has helped you through that?
Definitely having people around me that have been through it or, can just encourage me in that. Cause I can go from like, I'm the best mom in the world to I am terrible at this in like 5 seconds. And I've had a lot of that with Sammy because I'll think, you know, oh my gosh, he's doing so great and he made progress. And then I'll go on Facebook and I'll see some mom say, oh, my kid is speaking a second language now. And
oh gosh,
it's like, oh man, I thought I was doing well. But one thing that I've realized, because now I have 2 children and y'all with multiple kids have probably learned this a long time ago, but I just recently did, that I can't take credit for Sammy's delays as much as I can take credit for where my daughter Fanny excels. You know what I'm saying? So like I would put myself down because he's not learning something quick enough. Whereas now I understand that like he is at his own pace. He is his own person. And yes, I can give him those tools and help him get to his therapy and work with him at home. But all of that's going to come at his own time. And just like her being super advanced in areas, I can't say, yes, I'm the most amazing parent ever because I had nothing to do with that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Some of us want to take credit for all the bad things. It's easier to, you want to kind of make somebody pay. And so sometimes we just make ourselves.
Yeah, that's so true.
Did you find that your anxiety levels were higher when he was born and there was lots of little things? I can assume it would be a lonely, kind of nerve-wracking place to be as a new mom.
Yes, it was extremely. And then, you know, recovering from a C-section, but having to go to like 2 doctor's appointments every day with him and very traumatic time. Yeah. And I don't think I handled it super well.
Okay.
But there's, you know, I would love to say that, oh, well, I had peace and I prayed about it. And maybe there was some of that. But honestly, like my husband was the voice of the Lord during those times for me, because he like really spoke truth and like, mm-hmm. he would, you know, saying how our son was perfectly made and he's going to be amazing and all these things that like in the moment I was just too emotional to see.
Yeah. It's so good to have somebody to help you. Cause I mean, your own emotions, your body, your hormones, like nothing is right.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, totally. And just being a new mom. I mean, I don't know what it's like to like just bring a baby home and like have that time where you don't leave the house and you're on the couch. But even that I'm assuming is overwhelming for a new mom, but like throwing in all the other stuff was just, you know, made it even more stressful.
Yeah. Gosh. I remember, I mean, and my kids were adopted, but I remember those several weeks after they first come home, your entire life is in the best way turned upside down.
So yes,
it feels like a
absolutely.
Dream every day. You're like, what is my life right now? Yeah. And both times my kids came, I had nothing, no baby, anything at all. And so
yeah.
It was, every time it was, we were not prepared, even though we tried to be prepared. It never went like we thought. Life's funny that way.
It is, totally. I mean, that's just, and, you know, my prayer through that and through the adoption process was like, please don't let me be the same at the end of this. Like, let it have a purpose that I'm like learning and becoming more like Christ. And hopefully at the end, I can look back and say, well, I did the best I could, but now I know better. So hopefully I can do better.
Yeah. So what would you say that you wish you would have done different in the waiting for the adoption to go through?
Wow. I wish I could say that I was peaceful and calm and trusting and all those good things through it. But I also know like it's okay to have those moments and,
the wrestling, there's no shame in the wrestling.
Right.
We
exactly.
want to be perfect out of the gate, but that's not real life.
And I'm just going to be completely honest with you. Like, if I had heard the phrase, it'll happen in God's timing, like one more time, I could have punched someone.
Yeah.
I know that's true. I know that's
right.
true. But like that phrase started to grate on me like crazy because I couldn't understand why God would like keep me from my daughter, or like what, you know, like that didn't, I couldn't rectify that in my brain. And so like someone just kind of trying to flippantly say, well, it happened in God's time. It's like, I don't know. Like that just doesn't feel right to me. But now that she's home and she's doing so well, I can look back and I see, I'm starting to see purpose in the wait and in the fact that she has memories of the shelter. Like that is always going to be something she remembers. Mm-hmm. Whereas if she was younger, she may not.
Right. Are they fine memories? Are they bad memories?
You know, it's a mix, but I'm thankful to say that like for the most part, she wants to remember it as a happy place and like talk about the good things and, oh, in Burundi, I did this. And even last night I asked her to set the table and she put the forks below the plate, like horizontally rather than next to it. And I said, oh, where did you learn to do that? And she goes, oh, that's how we did it in Burundi, you know? And it was like this sweet little moment where she, another thing where I got to learn a little thing about her and the way they did things. And so to me, like, it's sweet that she's remembering the positives from it and that really will shape who she is as an adult, because she does have those memories. And I think I feel very strongly that God's going to use her story because of that, because she will remember that and be able to say, like, that's where I came from.
That's really neat. So every adoption waiting is a little different. I know for you, you probably knew she was your person, right?
We found out February of 2019. Who she was, that she was a little girl, her name and all of that.
Okay, so you didn't know the whole 4 years?
No.
Okay, because that would be really hard.
Yeah, that last 8 or 9 months where we knew her face and knew her name and even got videos of her, that was excruciating, because that's your child.
Yeah.
You know, it's this, like seeing her face last February was the same as seeing my son in the delivery room.
Yeah.
There was no, like, in my heart, there was no difference. Like, she was mine.
Oh, I love that. I get asked a lot about that. Like, do you feel like they're your actual kid? Will I bond to them? Things like that. And for me, the answer has been yes. Like, yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think the waiting probably has a play in that, too, because you have that time to, like, really attach and like fight, feel like you're fighting for them, even though you're so far away. And so when they finally do get in your arms, it's like the best feeling ever.
That's great. I love that. So ladies, as we all know, things are stressful right now in the world, and that can affect our sleep. But we have precious little kiddos who are sleeping just fine. So it's really important for us in the midst of all this to still get a good night's sleep. That's why I want to tell you about Yoga Sleep's white noise machines. I typically sleep with no problem, but I can tell you that I've been struggling lately because of all the stuff that's going on. But Yoga Sleep helps me a lot, and I use it every single night. I'm completely sold. Yoga Sleep's been making their products for over 50 years. They actually invented the first white noise machine called the Dome, so they know how to make trusted products that work. And the best thing is that white noise is a natural approach to better sleep and relaxation, so it's nice to have that as an option. They also make other sleep products, like mattresses and bedding accessories, so you should check out their website and see if you can't help yourself sleep better. Their products are backed by a 101-night promise, meaning that you can try them risk-free. And most of their sound machines are made in North Carolina, so that's great. I love hearing that. So go to yogasleep.com/MSW to save an exclusive 20% off of a sound machine for natural sleep for the whole family. That's yogasleep.com/MSW to get 20% off. yogasleep.com/MSW. All right, ladies, I have to tell you, I have been working a lot of hours lately. We have a lot of sick people and I'm working hard. But can I tell you, even though my feet are aching, I am not uncomfortable because my bra is amazing. It's from Third Love, and they have really dialed in how to make a great bra. Every bra they have is backed by their perfect fit promise. You have 60 days to wash it, wear it, try it out, and if you don't love it, you can return it for free. But you're not going to want to return this bra. It is hands down the most comfortable bra that you will ever own. The straps don't slip. The labels are printed right on the bra, so there's no tags. There's no itching at all. It's lightweight, super thin memory foam cups. They mold to your shape. It's amazing. And Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they're offering my listeners 15% off your first order. So support this show by supporting Third Love. Go to thirdlove.com/MSW now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/MSW for 15% off today. So you had mentioned to me that one of the struggles that you have as a mom is elevating your comfort over your kids. Just wanting to be comfortable is very normal, but sometimes not the best to prioritize.
When they like get in your face or like they're just right next to you all the time and it's like trying not to get annoyed and realize that I'm only getting annoyed because I want my personal space. And you don't always have that as a mom. And so just having to take a step back and realize like, this is just a very short time that they're going to be like this and embracing that for what it is and not getting frustrated and focused on your own comfort.
Yeah. Are you home with them all day?
Well, Fanny's in preschool, which she, from the day she came to America, when Fanny starts school, it was she wanted to go to school so bad. And that was against, you know, what they trained us. So we didn't let her start school until she'd been home a couple of months and we, you know, had that cocooning time. But when she started it, I mean, she loves school and she is so smart. She could definitely jump into a full day, but she's just there for the mornings. And then Sammy's in first grade. So I now get to take them to school every day and pick them up. And that is just such a blessing because I haven't always been able to do that.
Because you were a news, were you a news anchor?
Yeah, I started my career in television as a news reporter. And most recently, I hosted a morning radio show that aired across the Carolinas in coastal Georgia. And so when we adopted my daughter, I took some time off just to spend with her. And then when I was supposed to go back and just didn't quite feel right. So God gave me a lot of peace about that. So now I get to focus my time on them.
Okay, so tell me about that decision, because that's a big one for moms. Some of them have to work, but some have the choice. What'd that look like?
Well, I'd definitely say that's part of my testimony of being debt-free. And one of the reasons I'm so passionate about that is so people have the freedom to make those decisions, because I know a lot of people don't. And it was like a couple weeks out from when I was supposed to go back, and I just didn't really have a lot of peace about it. And I just knew that certain things needed to happen for me to feel comfortable about going back, and those things didn't happen. So I felt like God very clearly answered my prayer, and I have not looked back. Like I really am confident that this is what I'm supposed to do in this season of my life.
And you couldn't have done that if you hadn't been so careful with your money.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, absolutely not. I've definitely been in that boat where, you know, it was pretty much paycheck to paycheck, you know, and you don't have those kind of freedoms when you're saddled with debt.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If somebody wants to start doing the Dave Ramsey thing, where is the best place for them to? Do they get the total money makeover or what do they do?
I highly recommend finding a class in your area, and you can do that by going to financialpeaceuniversity.com. And the reason why is because it creates that community. And that's what we're so passionate about with our classes, is just like really getting to know people's stories, sharing our testimony with them, letting them know that they're not alone. And if they have questions, you know, we are happy to answer anything. And just to have that connection and that support, I think makes a huge difference that you don't get out of it if you're just reading the book.
Definitely. Okay. I like it. Okay, so I wanted to talk to you about the Set Free Alliance Ministry and then what you have done to involve your children in helping bring clean water to people who don't have it. So tell me all about that. How did it start? How did you get involved?
Oh, man. So it's super exciting. I've always been really passionate about the idea of like bringing clean water to people who don't have it because it's such a practical need. And so I started working with this organization and they use it as a tool to share the gospel. And it is honestly one of their most powerful ministry tools because people are so open to hearing the message of the gospel when you've given them the gift of clean water, because they don't understand, like, why would you give me this gift? Like, this doesn't make sense. This is
so it would change their whole entire life, give them hours of their day back.
Yes, absolutely. And so I've been really passionate about that. My husband and I traveled to Liberia, West Africa, to drill wells with the organization. And then when Sammy was about 1 year old, I went to India with Set Free Alliance. And that was completely life-changing. So Set Free not only drills wells, but they help rescue children from slavery. And they've rescued 30,000 children from slavery in the last, you know, several years. Well, one of the stops we made on that trip was to a mine where I saw children working.
Oh my goodness.
And yeah, it was absolutely heartbreaking. Like I climbed down this rickety ladder into the pit of the mine and I like tried to shake their hands and they were just so thrilled to see me. It was like a really big deal, you know, that anybody would come and visit them. So in that moment, I was just trying to like smile and try to make them feel better. But inside I was just like falling apart. I was like, could not believe what I was seeing. And so, I came home and I just felt like this has to change how I raise my child. And I need this to I need this to have a purpose in it because this wrecked me. You can't see child slavery and then go home and like live a normal American life.
Yeah. My goodness.
That's just, yeah. So, and it took me a long time to process that and to figure out like, God, why did you have me see that? What do you want me to do with that? And for one, I felt very convicted that I did not want to raise children that were entitled. I couldn't. That just seemed like to me, that would be a failure. Like, I don't care if they make tons of money. I don't care what kind of level of success they experience. But if they're kind and compassionate towards others, like that is huge to me. And I thought, you know, how can I know there's other parents who feel the same way, because that is a battle in America. Like, it's like if you're a mom who doesn't want to give your kid candy with like dyes in it, it's like, it is a battle because it's everywhere. Like they're always trying to give your kid candy. Anyway, so I'm at church one Sunday and I'm worshiping, and this is still in my brain years later. I'm still thinking about those kids. And God gave me this idea to use these little stuffed elephants, believe it or not, that are made by young women who have been rescued from Set Free Alliance. And I kept thinking about those elephants. And the idea that God gave me was to combine that with that idea of crowdsourcing, where many people come together to accomplish something that they couldn't do on their own. So what the idea was is, put 12 of these elephants into a box, and one child commits to selling those 12 elephants. And when they do, they will have raised $130 for Set Free Alliance. Well, when 50 kids each sell one box of elephants, that raises enough money to drill an entire well in India and give clean water to people who have been told their entire lives that they're worth less than animals.
Oh, I cannot even imagine. Wow.
So that is life-changing in itself, but also because those women who are making those elephants, they learn a skill and a craft and they have confidence in something. They're doing something they enjoy. They're getting paid for it. But then they can see a life. They have hope for a life beyond the slavery that they grew up in. So, and to me, it's like full circle, because also those kids here in America that are selling those elephants get to learn about what's going on in other parts of the country. And then when they help drill that well, they get video and pictures and they can point it out on a map and they know that that village will never be the same because of what they did.
That's amazing.
I have been really pleased by just the response and the people that have gotten behind it. We launched this on World Water Day in 2018, and we've already drilled, we just drilled our fifth well. And so this year on World Water Day, we're going to launch another round. So 50 more boxes will be available for any kids who want to sell them and be a part of helping us drill another well.
Oh my goodness. When is World Water Day?
March 22nd, I want to say. And it's just been such a fun project to be a part of and to see other people get involved with. Like the first round of boxes, my husband and I sat on the couch and we like tagged all the elephants and we put them all in the boxes and got it all ready. And I was like, why are we doing this? Just the two of us? Like it took us days. It probably took us a whole week to get it ready. And I thought, I know a lot of people who would love to help with this. So last year we launched our first packing party and I made it a ladies event, ladies only, no kids allowed. And we just had so much fun. We ate snacks and we listened to music and we all packed these boxes. They packed 100 boxes in less than an hour.
Oh my goodness.
I know. It was so awesome.
That is called working smarter, not harder.
I know. And they got involved and they became supporters. So it's so cool.
That is so neat. So if somebody wants to get involved with this round and get a box of elephants for their kiddos to tell people about, how do they do it?
Go to crowdsourcingkids.com and you can buy a box right there starting on World Water Day. They'll be launched. So there's only 50 available. So we're hoping those will go quick. We will have another round that's released probably in the summertime too. So that's if you know, this time of year doesn't work out for you, that's something to keep in mind. So we'll have two wells that we can come together and fund this year.
That's so neat. I love that you saw a thing that put a fire under you and you ask God, what do I do? And he gave you this creative solution that will also impact your parenting. I just think it's so neat how he works.
Absolutely. Now that doesn't mean like I was completely like had no anxiety about it.
Good. Yes. Tell me more.
So, I mean, he gave me this idea and I was still like, is this a good idea? I don't really know. I'm kind of scared to put it out in the world, which is kind of my MO. You know, it doesn't matter what the idea is, like having the courage to like tell people about it, it's scary, especially when it's something that no one's really ever done before, kind of a fresh idea. So it took God, like I love thrift shopping and I went to a thrift store and the exact boxes in my head that I was picturing that I would need were at the thrift store, like a stack of them that were on. What? They were a quarter each. And so I bought them and I'm like, okay, well, this is a sign. Like I've never seen boxes like that there since or before. So
me either. They don't sell unused boxes at thrift stores.
I know. So those were just for me.
I love that. Okay. So a mom has the same or just something in her heart that she feels like God has asked her to do. What would you tell her the one thing she should do is?
I would say definitely pray about it. Talk to your trusted confidants. And I mean, be very careful about who you let speak into your heart. Like I believe in that totally. I have friends that I love and love to talk to, you know, them about everything. But when it comes to like getting advice from them, that's just not the person I'm going to let speak into my life. So share it with people like that and just be confident that God gave you this idea for a reason.
That's good. It's hard to be confident when it's you hold it so close to your heart. You know what I mean? It becomes very nerve-wracking.
It is. But I heard someone say the other day, done is better than perfect, which I love. I think I'm going to put that on a shirt.
That's really good.
So like, you know, I didn't know exactly what all this was going to look like when I started it and it's evolved. But that change over time and like seeing it improve is actually part of the blessing of it because you get to see how like, oh, this person came into the picture and helped me with this part of it. And like, you can see it improve and that'll be your story one day. So like, hopefully when we're like drilling our 100th well, I'll say, you know, when we started, my husband and I did this on our couch, but that's all part of the fun.
Allison, well, thank you so much for sharing your heart and what you've done. And I hope that these 50 boxes are gone in a day.
Oh, thank you. I hope that too. That would be exciting.
It would be exciting. Awesome. Well, thank you again.
Thank you, Emily.
All right, ladies, I hope you loved that. I hope you found something in there that you can hold on to this week. So what will your strategy to struggle well be based on what Allison said? Maybe you pick this week that you are going to look into Financial Peace University. Like I said, I have been working really hard to pay off our cars. I may be pausing that because of the virus, but you know, that's my main goal. And what's helped me is listening to the Dave Ramsey podcast sometimes. I try to keep it on every once in a while to help me remember about money and how I'm not spending it. And how, no, I don't need those shoes. Do not go into REI, Emily. Maybe you could struggle well this week by doing what Allison said and like letting your kids work at their own pace, letting them be where they are. I remember forever my son, every time I tried to potty train him or tried to talk about going to the bathroom on the toilet, he would just laugh and say, well, maybe next week. The whole thing was just such a big joke to him. And on his third birthday, he said, yep, I'm big now. I'm not doing that. And so sometimes they just have to come to it on their own. And for moms of tiny kids, I promise you, if it's their own idea, it's not that unlike our husbands and us, to be honest. If it's their own idea, they're much more down to clown, if you know what I mean. They are gonna be on board if they thought it up. So let them be at their own pace. Just like, guess what? Hey, we're at our own place. So maybe our husbands wish we were farther along than we are. And wouldn't we like them to stop telling us about it? We would. Prayer, guys. Prayer is so much more powerful than we think it is. So shut your mouth and start talking to God about it. How about that plan? I'm talking to myself here. Maybe you struggle well this week by repeating this to yourself that she said when she wasn't handling well the trauma of coming home with a son who had a lot of complications. Lord, please don't let me be the same at the end of this. Please, Lord, don't let us be the same at the end of this virus. To be honest, we have a lot of learning to do and growing to do. All of us do. Every single one of us. So I pray that this will make us different. So I love her idea of combining these elephants from the Set Free Alliance, the women who have been freed from slavery, making the elephants. The kiddos tell people about the elephants in the wells, sell the elephants for a couple bucks, and then they are able to give water to a whole village. That's amazing. If you are interested in doing that, World Water Day is today, which is Sunday, but you ain't hearing this till tomorrow, so you missed it. But go to crowdsourcingkids.com. You can get a box of those elephants and then sell those with your kiddos and dig a well. Love that. And finally, maybe you struggle well this week because you realize that God has given you an idea. It's different than Allison's. He gives us all our own things to do. But be confident that God gave you this for a reason. And so just keep asking him. He will tell you. I mean, imagine she needed boxes. She went to the thrift store and they had the exact boxes she needed unused. That doesn't happen. That does not just happen. I am so sorry. So if you have something burning in your heart, just keep asking him. He is not low on resources. We right now, we're low on toilet paper, hand sanitizer, masks, eggs. I bought the last bottle of oil that Target had in all of Target. Like, we are low on everything. We do not serve a God who's low on supplies. Okay. So if he wants you to do it, he will supply what you need. Oh, all right. Let me pray for us. Lord, what in the actual world? We are all a little bit freaked out. Thank you that you like me even when I am raw. I think you even like me more. Thank you that you're nearer than our breath. God, would you show us? Would you just give us a big hug in whatever way that is? If it means finding boxes at the thrift store that we need, exactly. If it means finding hand sanitizer or a roll of toilet paper, Lord. God, would you give comfort to all these moms so that they can in turn comfort with the comfort that they've been given? Will you help them to love and persevere and serve every doggone day in their house over and over and over? Will you help them love their husbands well? My husband and I get along well, so, so well, and we have even been struggling this week, Lord. And so I just know the tensions are high everywhere. So God, would you please just be a balm and a comfort and a place that we come to for rest? Thank you that you're always willing. I pray that you'd help us to actually come to you. In Jesus' name, amen.